Hi, everybody. My name is Karupa. I'm a program manager on the web platform team, where we make all the HTML stuff you see in Windows just work. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about how to build web apps on the Xbox. You know, in the previous session, you learned a little bit about how to use C# and XAML to bring your Xbox apps to life. And we're going to see the HTML and web technology complement of it, where we're going to talk about how you can bring your web experience to the console. Now, before I move on, there was a, I'm going to go back to my computer for a second. Now, there was a quick poll that was, made about let's say about a few hours ago or so, where you guys were asked to make me do, one of four things. Say, I love Windows, do a dance move, take a selfie, or tell a joke. And surprisingly, I love Windows is the one that won. You know, I would have personally gone for do a dance move or tell a joke or take a selfie, something that makes the presenter very uncomfortable. But I love Windows won, and I respect the will of all the people who voted. So I'm going to say, I love Windows. So thank you all for making it very easy for me to do this. Otherwise, I would have had to do a dance move, which I'm sure all of you don't love. So maybe next time that can be an option. And tell a joke. I got a bunch of those. I'll just throw them in as part of my demos themselves. All right. So let's go back to the slides. So the agenda is going to be pretty light. I'm going to be mostly on slides, with a little bit of Visual Studio, and a little bit of coding. So we're going to start by talking about web apps as UWPs. We're going to learn about web apps, what they are in the Windows world, and how you can actually create them. And then we'll shift focus on talking about how you can make them work on the Xbox. We'll talk about how you can design for the television, aka the 10-foot experience you've been hearing a lot about, integrate with the platform, how to make your apps really shine, and then dive a little deeper and talk about WebView, the control that makes a lot of what you're going to see possible. And then we'll wrap things up by talking about what's next and what to expect and what kind of things you'll be able to do in your Xbox, hopefully very soon. So let's get started. So this is probably the most important slide. If you don't remember anything from it, it's this one. It's, please ask questions at any time. This is a live feed. There are people watching right now. And there's also a screen right here where I can see all the questions you all are going to be asking me. So I like to keep it pretty casual. I might get like a two-way conversation. So please ask questions at any time and just use the hashtag XboxAppDev. And it'll totally come by. And, I see some of the questions right now, and I will totally bring some of them in as the talk when I, in a demo fail or something like that, good time to move on these things. So what web apps? You all know about web apps. They've been around forever. You've been probably building websites, web applications for, many years, maybe even decades. And the way I like to talk about this is, there are a lot of misconceptions and what web apps really are. Depending on who you ask, it's going to be a different definition of what it takes to build an application for the web. I like to break it down into basically, four high-level items. So the obvious one is this. They're built on web technologies, your favorite HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. And to maybe even go one step further, I'd say it's not just the runtime features on natively. I'd also say like your favorite frameworks like Angular, React, Bootstrap, jQuery, Lodash, the things you use to make web application development just easier, if not tolerable, more performant, you name it, all that stuff, that's totally supported. And the other thing about web apps that I find very interesting is that they're cross-platform, they're cross-browser. You never really build it for one particular device or one particular form factor. You build it for a variety of devices that you are aware of and ones you might not even be aware of. That's the nature of the web and what makes it kind of fun and a challenging environment to build your apps in. The third one is they're responsive. When we started building websites, you might be testing on one or two screens. But as you have screens that are very small to very large screens, very low DPI, high DPI, and a variety of form factors in the middle. And the web apps you build tend to be responsive. And the last one, this is my favorite one, actually. And the thing is, like, the web apps you build, there's no specific tool or framework or library or thing that basically says, this is what you must do to build a web app. Use whatever your favorite tools are. It might be Visual Studio, it might be a code editor, it might be something web-based. Whatever you like it, by all means, go ahead and use it. So the thing is, now web apps in the browser, great. But what we're going to do is talk about web apps as UWPs. And what this means is this. The same exact apps that the skills that you have building your websites, the same skills translate to building for the variety of devices that run on the Universal Windows platform, your HoloLens, your desktop, your Xbox, as you're going to be seeing right now, to even much smaller form factors like your phones and tablets, or even devices that you might never even see, like your headless IoT devices. As long as these devices run UWP, your web apps will work as well. And the way we bring that to you is, the goal is this. we want to allow you to easily reuse your skills and assets. You already built this awesome website, awesome web application that works across all these things, all these performance sets. Why not be able to use them as part of building for the Windows family as well? And the way we bring that to you is in two ways. The one way is called hosted web apps. This is a way, a type of an application where your app content is served from a public URL. And the other approach is packaged web app. This is where all of your app content is local entirely to your package. Nothing is really downloaded from the internet as part of building your application. And we look at both of these as part of this demo evolves. But really, though, my favorite is really hosted web apps, and that's what we're going to talk about first. So the way I like to think about hosted web apps is this. Think of it as a UWP wrapper around what I'm going to call a supercharged iframe for now, to just keep all the jargon down to the minimum, that just displays content from your server. And the important part to notice is this. It's a UWP app, and all of your content comes directly from the server. So I'm going to give you a quick demo of what an application like that might look like. So I'm going to go back to the Xbox, actually. And let's go ahead and look at, I have a Bing application that I have on the Xbox, and I'm just going to launch it. And what you see here looks just like, looks like just like Bing in the browser. You have an application, but the important thing is, though, it's not a browser-based thing. It's an actual UWP whose content is being entirely served live from the Bing server. And we'll talk a little bit more about what makes this particularly interesting. So I'm going to go back to my slides for a second to continue on about our mini lecture on what's going on. So you have several ways you can build these hosted web apps. You have Visual Studio, you have Manifold.js, you can use the Cordova CLI, just some of the popular ones. And I know in the morning keynote, introduction, you saw Giorgio demoing how you can build from Manifold.js using a Mac, because I love Windows. I'm going to be demoing this on, giving you a quick overview of the workflow on a PC as well, just to have you understand what exactly is involved in building an app using Manifold.js. So I'm going to go back to my PC. And right now I'm on manifoldjs.com. You've probably already seen it this morning. And what I'm going to do is click on the Generate Now button. Pretty straightforward. And just like before, there are two ways you can build your hosted web application. You can use a W3C manifest that gives you information about your application, or you can just do what I like to do, which is provide a URL. So I'm going to go ahead and provide the URL to microsoft.com. Seems like a good site. It's responsive. It works really well. I'm going to hit Get Started. And once you hit Get Started, you can see that on the right-hand side, you can see that we have the beginnings of what your manifest actually looks like, the start URL, short name, and the display size. And I can specify more names as well, because I'm Microsoft, Xbox demo. Give a value of, for the short name, just say, MS homepage. Anything I want to do, I can provide icons, I can do all of that. And then once I'm ready, I can hit Generate Package. And as you saw today, we'll create an Apex for you that you can use the device portal to go ahead and upload and get it displayed on your Xbox and test it out. So this is one way, and I'd say if you want to build a hosted web app, this is probably one of the best ways of doing it. Very simple, very straightforward, no need to learn a new tool or learn anything complicated, just fill out a few fields and you're pretty much set. So we're good to go on that. But one of the more popular ways you have for building applications, especially to those of you who are familiar with Visual Studio, is to actually use Visual Studio itself. So I'm going to go ahead and close all of these things. So right now, I'm in Visual Studio. I'm going to go to File, New Project, and I'm going to show you a way of building these using Visual Studio itself. So in the New Project dialog, as you probably know, you have a bunch of templates, a bunch of starting points for letting you use to build your application that you want. So because we're building a web app, I'm going to go to the JavaScript node, and I'm going to choose the category that corresponds to what I want to build, which is universal under the Windows node. So there are several categories of apps you see here. One is hosted web app. So I'm going to go ahead and just create my hosted web app right here. Selected it, give it a name. Let's go for Xbox HWA demo. I'm going to hit OK. And you're going to choose the version that you want to support. Obviously, our target version is going to be the latest, which is the anniversary edition. And the minimum version is automatically selected to be 10.586. So once I've created my application, my hosted web app in Visual Studio, we immediately take you to the manifest editor. And really what you need to specify here is just the URL you want to start off with. So in this case, I'm going to do Microsoft.com again. And the nice thing is, once you've done this, you're mostly pretty much set. If this is all you want to do, you can go ahead and hit local machine or deploy to the remote machine if you want to test on the Xbox, and you're already set. But the interesting thing I want you to focus on, though, right, is not necessarily this part alone, is to look at your Solution Explorer. Look at the files and folders that currently make up your application. So one of the things you mentioned is that for hosted web apps, all of your content is not local to your package. They're actually downloaded from the server. They're downloaded live from a server instance that is giving you the same content that someone would be seeing if they're viewing your content in the browser or on any host of devices that are accessing the internet. So if you look at the Solution Explorer, you have just a bare minimum scaffolding needed for it to be a project that Visual Studio recognizes, and you have some images that we use just to make sure it looks appropriate on an Xbox or any UWP device where an icon is displayed. I haven't actually gone through and changed any of the icons, which is why you'll probably see the same classic, you know, the X icon around the in that square. But notice what else is there. Just some default, you know, CSS files and HTML and JS files. But if you look at the JS file, for example, there's really nothing exciting going on here. It's just some basic, you know, scaffolding to allow you to display this page inside our host, which is the UWP container. So that's basically a hosted web app. And I can go further, but you've already seen this working, and we'll have other demos that talk about this more. And one more thing I want to talk about before we move forward is, you know, we talked about hosted web app. Just to contrast what a hosted web app is with a packaged web app, I'm just going to create a normal packaged web app. Let's just say Blank App Universal Windows. And you'll see that there's a big difference here. So I'm going to go through the usual steps. And look at we're going to focus primarily on the Solution Explorer. And notice that in this case, you actually have an index.html where content will actually go. You have your JS file, your CSS file, and images. And all these are going to be packaged locally as part of your application. So you have two ways of building your web apps. One is the hosted approach, which is where all your content is on a server. And then you have your packaged approach, where all of your content is, or most of your content is local directly to your machine. So let's go back to the slides for a bit. So in our slides, you know, I gave you a demo of Visual Studio as well. And right now, you know, let's go back to the hosted web apps and the packaged apps world. You're probably going, why? You know, why is this even interesting? Why is this important? Because I have my application, it works in the browser, it works great, and it hits all these various people who I mentioned targeting. What do I gain by having my app, like let's say Bing in this case, right, running in the app container as an application, as opposed to just running in the Edge browser where people are probably very familiar to? Well, there are several reasons. I think the two big ones are this. The one of the benefits about UWP, which you've seen in many talks, not just today, but in previous ones where we talked about it, is that UWP apps are fully integrated with Windows 10. You get notifications through Notification Center, and you get much better access to, you know, resource allocation, especially for the web. You know, in the web, if you're using any storage APIs or any, you know, hardware access APIs, you're going to be limited by what the browser allows, by what your security settings restrict you to. But when you're actually a UWP app, you're no longer bound by those restrictions. So your apps can take better advantage of the resources your computer has available to it, or your device has available to it. And the second one, which I think is one of my favorite ones, is that you have access to native device capabilities via WinRT APIs. And one of the big themes that you're going to be seeing with web development in general, not just in this talk, is how do you progressively enhance your application? You know, you have a web app, and it's designed to work well across a variety of form factors. And oftentimes, those form factors can be ones that are low-powered devices to very high-powered devices. And some of the best web apps that you see tend to take advantage of what each device is uniquely capable of. And in the UWP world, being able to access WinRT APIs is one of those great advantages. And we will talk a little bit about that in some of the future demos and slides that we're going to be talking about. So now, let's just focus a bit. Let's talk about designing for the TV, and more specifically, you know, what developing for the Xbox is going to be like. You know, and you've heard it called as a 10-foot experience. Now, I know there's going to be a session later today where we talk about all the work that is going to be done on the design side of it from a talk dedicated to this designing for the Xbox. So I'm just going to not go into too much detail on this, but just give you some high-level overviews and big points that you need to keep in mind as part of designing for the Xbox, and throw some code as well, because that makes it a little bit more unique to what the web development is going to be like. So when you're building a web app, right, you know, I don't know about you, but for the most part, my web apps are not really optimized for the television. They're, you know, I know about it, I hear about it, I know people can, you know, deploy to it and use it, but they're really designed for things that I can hold very close to or sit next to, like a phone or a desktop screen. But the nice thing is, in order to deal with the Xbox or in any kind of a TV experience, the amount of work you need to do, the changes you need to make to your code, is actually pretty minor. And we'll talk about what some of those major points are. So first of all, the first thing is this. In general, you don't want to keep important content at the edges of your television. So one of the things is we give you the guidelines to is you want to create a TV-safe border. And the amount of pixels for it can vary, but I like to give it a value of around 50 pixels. And one way you can do that is by just setting the margin on the root container or even your body element to 50 pixels. Now, this brings up an interesting challenge, though. What, you know, you want to create a 50 or so pixel border on a TV experience, But you may not want to do that for your phone or your desktop or any other device where you don't really need that extra space. So what do you do for this? So in the previous talk, you saw that, you know, you saw Jason giving a demo where we check the analytics info API and check for a value of, let's say, system.xbox or windows.xbox. And that's a fine approach. On the web, though, I think there, you know, you have a different way of doing this. You know, and one of the ways I like to do is instead check for DPI. By default, all the apps in the Xbox have a default zoom value of around 150%. You can check resolution, which, you know, may not be the best one because, you know, 4K or 920 by 1080, those are all resolutions that other devices can also cater to, but it is one approach you can take as well. And the other approach is, you know, you can check whether a controller is connected or not. And the reason why I like these approaches is that a 10-foot experience could just be an Xbox, or it could be my laptop projecting to a projector somewhere, or it could even be my laptop projecting to a projector with a controller connected to it, at which point it becomes another UWP device that I can use a gamepad on and be able to navigate my app without using a mouse and keyboard. So there's a lot of gray area in checking explicitly for what kind of a device type I'm on. So my favorite one, actually, is to detect whether controller is connected. Now, I'm not going to go too detailed into this, but in the W3C, the standards body that makes up a lot of the HTML items that you work on, there's actually something known as the Gamepad API. There's a formalized API for how to interact with the gamepad that you can use in the browser. And one approach that I like is to check if the gamepad is connected, and if it is connected, change the experience people see to an experience where you have a gamepad-focused experience as opposed to a mouse-first, keyboard-first experience. And in this code, you can see very simply that we just check if you have a gamepad by polling this one API many times called getGamePads. And if the gamepad is detected, we just have a Boolean, you know, global variable called isGamePadConnected that we toggle between true and false as necessary. And now, you know, you're probably wondering that polling something constantly is pretty CPU-intensive. One of the ways you can work around that is by using a pretty simple API called RequestAnimationFrame that doesn't quite peg your system heavily and just works in the background. Not only does it work when the system is actually available for calling this API, so it's a great way of a low latency approach for checking whether the gamepad is connected or not. So this is an approach I generally tend to recommend when you want to check for the Xbox. And if you are an Xbox, do special things like add the Xbox body class to an element so that the style rule gets applied. Great. So the next one, when you are viewing a web app on the Xbox, you'll see a black border. It's subtle, but once you see it, you can never unsee it. So the best way to get rid of it is just call this Windows following Windows RT call. You know, we call our old friend application view get for current view. And then from there, you can just set the desired bounce mode to force your application to take up all available space and not use any of it for the black border. Now, if you like the black border, you can keep it, but I'm going to say 95% of you, 99% of you probably don't. So we'll just go and set the bounce mode to use up all the space available. And then, of course, you know, I kind of hinted at this several times. Your primary way of interacting with your app on an Xbox is going to be the controller. Not the mouse and keyboard, but the controller. And then there's some challenges associated with this. So the easiest way is to, you know, I could show you a lot of code. I could show you, you know, all the various edge cases and things you need to take into account to make your controller work really well with your UWP apps. But instead, to help with this, we actually created a library called TVJS. And what TVJS does, it allows to enable something known as directional navigation. And the thing I want to call out is that this actually works for all Windows devices, including your gamepad or just a keyboard as well. So it's not just tied to a gamepad-only experience. And you can get TVJS from here, ak.ms/tvjs. Now, you know, it's pretty simple to use, but I'm going to give you a demo of it as well. But if the high-level, you know, elevator pitch for TVJS is this. It makes it really easy to quickly focus on elements, and it also makes it even easier to focus on elements that aren't your usual hit targets. And let's see a demo of what I mean by that. So I'm going to go back to the Xbox, and I have something called a TVJS demo. So by default, you know that on the Xbox, you have a virtual mouse cursor that follows you around and does things that you can use to select an element. In many cases, though, the mouse cursor is great, but it's not the most efficient way, especially if you know that what UI elements are clearly defined, and you want to be able to allow someone to quickly get access to it. What TVJS does is allows you to disable the mouse mode and actually focus on elements simply using your keyboard or gamepad directly. And you know, there's a subtle thing about these elements that makes it pretty interesting, and I'll show you when I go back to the slides. But all you should notice right now is I'm using the gamepad, I'm just clicking around, and each color, you know, each square that's labeled A, B, C, D, or E is very easily getting focus. And I can click on it. I can do whatever I want from this point forward. So let's go back to the slides and talk about what exactly makes this interesting. So when I go to the slides, well, actually, let's look at the code first. And the interesting part is actually hidden here. And the code is just a handful of div elements which all have an ID value, and the content in them maps the ID value. And they have a class value of button. And the important part is the BTN field right there. And the thing to keep in mind is this. If I had a button or if I had a checkbox, your typical input element, it's pretty straightforward to get focus on that item. But what I'm getting focus to here, they're div elements. Div elements by default don't really get focus very easily. And that's where TVJS really, really shines, because the contents of your app, when you're using a mouse, right, you never really pay too much attention to what the type of elements are and what they get focus. Whereas when you're using a gamepad, that level of detail kind of becomes important. And so with TVJS, in order to make these items that are not by default focusable very easily or clickable, you can actually use TVJS and call the directional navigation API and just push the selector that you need to give focus on. In this case, it's the .btn. So by calling this one line of code and ensuring my code has the class values of btn specified as well, I can ensure that when I'm running my application, that all of those elements can easily be jumped to using just my gamepad without having to have a mouse cursor. I need to precisely move around and select and give focus to elements and all of that. So that's a really good convenience and something that I think you should absolutely use if you don't do anything else to make your app just that much more easier to use on an Xbox. And so the complement of the gamepad approach and the keyboard approach is mouse mode. And you know, I gave you a quick hint about this already, but here's some things about mouse mode you might not know unless you're really paying attention. So you know that mouse movement is via the left thumbstick. And the way you zoom in and zoom out is via left and right triggers, and scrolling is via the right thumbstick. And the cool thing is also you get magnetism support. So even though I mentioned that, you know, the mouse is kind of hard to use, it's the, you know, gamepad is the way to go and all of that, you can still use the mouse mode and actually get something going pretty well. So for that, let's go back to the Bing app actually, and I'll just highlight some of the things that I just called out in the slide earlier. So the thing is, I'm zooming in with my right trigger. You can see all of that, pretty cool. And the thing is, the cooler thing is actually magnetism support. Notice I'm just going to hover closer to explore. Notice as I'm getting closer to it, my mouse just jumps directly to where the explore is. So yes, even though using the directional navigation and highlighting the focus areas directly is pretty easy and very convenient, using the mouse, if you don't want to use that, is not as terrible as I'm making it out to be as well. It's actually pretty nice also. And I can navigate back and forth. And you know, Bing is a pretty responsive site with no scrolling, so it's pretty simple. But you can imagine if you're viewing something that's more complicated or more content heavy, all those gestures that you have for the mouse can be used very beautifully using just your Xbox controller as well. So pretty nice. Let's go back to the slides. So now we're going to go to probably my favorite part of what we're going to talk about. And so we're going to talk about integrating with the platform. Before I go there, let's look at some of the questions that are currently available. So one person asked right now, I'm new on Windows 10 UWP platform. Would you recommend a resource for absolute beginners? Well, it depends on what kind of app you're building. If you're building for XAML, there are a lot of applications, a lot of resources out there that give you an overview of not just the UI framework for building the UI for it, but also the code for it. I'd say C# is a great language to get started with. If you want to build this app using web technologies, there, I'd say learn JavaScript, learn HTML, learn CSS first, and then after that you can go to learning more about how to build for UWP, which as you'll see shortly is actually very straightforward. Building the web content is the hard part. Building it, making it work and shine really well on the UWP side is the pretty easy part. So keep the questions coming, and then as I get to a little downtime, I'll go ahead and answer them as well. All right, continuing on integrating the platform. So the thing about integrating the platform is this. It only works if you're on a UWP device. And we already talked about that your web content is meant to be served everywhere. So you need to have some code to essentially have a fallback for when I'm in UWP mode, this code needs to execute. When I'm not in UWP mode, I need to have different sets of code execute instead. So the easiest way to detect this is in your code anywhere, we need to call WinRT or UWP specific APIs. Just do a check, type of Windows does not equal undefined. This ensures that if you're on a UWP device, any code inside here will execute. If you're not on a UWP device, the code is going to be ignored. It's pretty sweet. So make sure to do that. And the thing is, Well, we talked earlier about what makes your, why you want to do a UWP app. And I just briefly mentioned you want to take advantage of WinRT because it makes your apps just that much more involved, that much more immersive in an Xbox or UWP environment. Because, you know, the Xbox has all kinds of cool things. You have Cortana, you have Kinect, you have like background audio, you have all these media controls. You have all these things that are very unique to the Xbox that can actually make the, depending on the kind of app you're building, can really make them shine. And so by taking advantage of this, you really can give a differentiated experience that makes your browser, you know, experience kind of cool, but Xbox One just really, really awesome. So we're going to talk about two particular aspects of this: SMTC integration. Don't worry, I'll explain what that acronym means, and then background audio as well. So for that, we're going to go to a demo, and this is a demo you've seen a few times already, but I'm going to show it anyway because it is really, really cool. So let me go to my games and apps. It should be somewhere here. Yeah, Southridge Video. So you saw this demo here. It's a really beautifully designed app. You know, it looks really cool. It's like, it's loading. And you know, you saw the cool stuff all over here. I'm gonna jump right to what the core of what I'm gonna talk about is. You have this video that's placed. You know, you have a video player that you can jump to and give focus to, and you can do all these things. Now, the thing about the video that's playing though, right, is that it's playing right now in full screen. But if we were to, let's say, go to my home screen, for example, you can see the video still playing, you can see the audio still playing, you can take advantage of all these things. And the thing to keep in mind is this, is that, oh, the music is playing again. It's fun, happy music. So, but the thing to keep in mind, though, is that you don't get that functionality by default. You know, by default, any video app or any media application you're building, you're gonna see all the, you know, all the cool stuff working when your app is in focus. But once your app goes in the background or when you're launching some other application, your application is not going to be doing what it's doing right there. And the way you can fix that is by, let's go back to the slides, is by using the two things we talked about, which is SMTC and background audio as well. And so let's talk about SMTC. SMTC is a scary acronym. It stands for System Media Transport Controls. And you know, what it really means is this. When you're using your app, when you minimize it, when you go to the home screen, you often see, when you have, like, let's say, background audio playing on like Pandora, for example, you'll see play, pause, back, and forward buttons. And these buttons, by default, don't really do anything unless you actually hook them into what your application is actually doing as well. So here's an example. So the way you use this, you know, enable SMTC, is you use a video element. That's a standard element you have in HTML for rendering video content. And the important part is the attribute you see right there, test controls. As long as you add that one attribute, the rendering engine is informed that this particular element is going to be given some special capabilities. And those special capabilities are added via JavaScript. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail about what this JavaScript looks like. It's you just have a few lines of code. It's properly documented all over the web. So I will leave it to you as an exercise to enable SMTC in a video application if you so want to. And background audio. This is probably the one that I actually end up using the most, is because, you know, I'm playing on the Xbox, I'm using Bing, for example, and I'm using the browser, and I still want to have my music playing in the background without having to keep that app in focus or docked or anything like that. And so the way you do that is by enabling what's known as background audio. And just like before, you use a video element, or any element in this case, even an audio element that is designed to play audio, just add the attribute MS audio category and give it a value of background capable media. That's it. And once you do that, there's one step you need to enable, though. As a user, you need to, this is just going to work. But as a developer, though, you need to enable this one area in your application. So in Visual Studio, in the manifest editor, the same one we saw earlier where we were entering the URL for a hosted web app, there's a capabilities tab. Inside capabilities, make sure to check the box that says background media playback. If you don't enable this, your background audio will just silently not work, and you'll be wondering why. It's very subtle. It's this. Check this box. Once you do this, any background audio you've enabled, any controls you've enabled to play, even if the app doesn't have focus, it's going to work just fine. Great. So next, we're going to go into, probably like a little bit more of the internals of how things work on an UWP app when a web application is being displayed. And that is the web view control. Now, to many of you are very, very familiar with this because the web view control has been something that's been around for a while. But those of you who are new to it, you're going to be pretty, pretty excited about what you're going to see right here. So the way I like to explain what a web view control is, it's pretty simple. Think of it as a really fancy turbocharged iframe that acts as a window for displaying HTML content. And the thing about web view is that, even though there's a talk about web apps on the Xbox, the web view actually works across UWP apps, not just on the web platform, but also on XAML as well. It's basically the de facto control you use for getting any HTML to display. And the way you use web view on the Xbox is by using, or just on the Xbox, just in general in the UWP app, you have two ways. In the HTML, you have the XMS web view control, which you can specify and set its value to, let's say, bing.com, for example. And when you launch the application, you will see that you have your normal web app, and within where the web view container is, you'll see bing.com displaying in a small, narrow area. Pretty cool. And then if you want to use it in JavaScript as well, of course, you can do it pretty easily as well. You can use document.createElement, XMS web view, and then you can navigate to the URL you want to show, and then add the element to your DOM so that it also displays at runtime. So pretty straightforward on that front as well. So the web view control is something that's built into Windows. It's built into something the browser understands, and it works really well at displaying content. So I just want to give you some demo of what the web view looks like and all the things you can do with it as well. So I'm going to go back to the Xbox. So the nice thing about web view is, like I mentioned, it's pretty simple. So here's a more involved TVGIS example. I'm not going to go into great detail about what all this shows, but I'm just going to show you what the web view is. So here I have a page displayed. And let me hit the X here to close this menu. Okay, so here I have TVJS, and there are two parts of this page. There's inline content, where I have the same blocks you saw earlier, the colored grid of letters. Then you have web view content below it, where you have, say, the same content as well. And what I want to show is that I can actually use the mouse, select all the items, and in the web view. And I can also, because the web view content is actually an independent, set of HTML from the page here, I can navigate up and select the content as well. So pretty straightforward. That's probably what you expect, right? From a user point of view, from a user experience point of view, just because you're using a web view to render HTML doesn't mean that users need to be made aware of it. The goal really is just to seamlessly blend HTML content from a variety of sources to create a cohesive experience. So there you have, web view with just mouse mode enabled. But just because we talked a lot about mouse mode and directional navigation and all of that, I want to, the app is slightly misbehaving, so let me first kill it and restart it again. We're doing this all live, right? So of course some demos have to misbehave. So I'm going to go back to here. Let me bring up WebView with XY focus, also known as directional mode. And notice that instead here, this time around, you don't have your mouse cursor displaying. Instead, you use the same TVJS functionality we talked about earlier to highlight various parts of your application. And just like before, I'm able to jump back and forth. And the nice thing is, this functionality, you don't have to do anything special. Like, you may be wondering, do I have to do any extra work to jump from the web view to my non-web view content and vice versa? It's actually no. You can just basically just use your normal gestures for navigation, and the library is smart enough to help you figure out how to go from one point to another. All right, so let's go back to the slides. So far, we're pretty good. We're doing good on time, and let's talk about what's next and what to expect coming up in the future. So one of the things I didn't mention, and is the same components that power the Edge browser, they also power the web experience you get in UWP apps. What you see in the browser, you see the Chrome, you see all the various functionality, favorites, address bar, and all of that. That's just one part of what the Edge browser is. The other part, the part you see under the covers, is the HTML runtime. It's the HTML runtime, it's the JavaScript runtime, it's all the various components that just seamlessly work together to give you the website and the content you actually see inside the browser itself. And the thing is, even for UWP apps, all the HTML content we just saw right here uses the same exact engine, uses the same exact capabilities that the Edge browser has for displaying content in the browser as well. And this is the important part is, here's the takeaway from this is that any improvements we make to the Edge platform, any improvements we make to our support for standards, for CSS features, for new JavaScript APIs, those exact same improvements, they also benefit UWP apps that are built on web technologies, as well as your hosted web apps, as well as your packaged apps. And here's the thing, you might be wondering, how do I know what these changes are and how can I see them very easily? Well, you can actually view them, by just going to plat-status.microsoft.edge.com. I'm just gonna go back to my computer. I just wanna give you a quick overview of what this is, because I think this is actually pretty cool. So I'm in the browser, and you can see that I'm on a page where I can see all the various content and all the various states of supported in development, supported preview, or anything like that. So if we can go to the computer screen, actually, I can give you, you see a screenshot of it on the screen, but now you see a live version of it as well. And you can see all the various features that we are currently supporting. We can filter by what's currently in development or under consideration. And you'll see that, for example, background blend mode, battery status API, a lot of these cool things that are going to be upcoming in the future updates to the Edge browser. All of these updates will also benefit Xbox development as well. So you have a very transparent way of seeing all the items that we are currently adding. And the nice thing is we make updates to things all the time. And it's also, it's a two-way communication as well. If there are items that you are particularly interested in, by all means, just find it, go to the voting area, and just vote for it. You know, the more votes something gets, the more likely it is for us to, you know, prioritize it just a little bit higher as part of our implementation as we go through all of our various releases. All right, let's go back to our slides. And so to wrap things up, you know, the summary is this. You know, if you know how to build a cool web app, then you know pretty much almost everything there is to build an app for the Xbox or any other UWP device. And this is really the important part, and this is really what I think is the value add of web apps on, you know, in general, is because you build these apps, you build them to run across a variety of scenarios and various form factors. So all the things you generally consider are app-specific development, you've already taken care of. And what we want to do is make sure that we're building for the Xbox, that you don't have to do anything extra. We just want to make sure you make some minor changes to make sure it looks really good on a screen that is 10 feet away or further away. And we also want to make sure that you take advantage of specific WinRT APIs that give you all this additional functionality for diving into all the capabilities the Xbox exposes that you might not see on your phone or your desktop or other normal environments. And the thing is, the takeaway is also, we want you to progressively think about enhancing your application. You know, we talked a lot about WinRT APIs, but it goes well beyond WinRT APIs. You know, it goes with like storage. You know, depending on which versions of the browser, which versions of the various screens you're targeting, you're going to have different capabilities and different functionality you want to expose. And that could be storage. You know, like we talked about, like local storage, IndexedDB. You also have service workers, which is something that is upcoming that we're going to be supporting in Edge in the near future. We also have various ways of doing animations, doing image loading, a lot of these things. So take into account all of these as well, just so you can build a great web app that also happens to be an even better web app when viewed in the Xbox context. And so with that, if you have any questions, by all means, you can find me at Karupa is the Twitter, and I'm going to be here to answer any questions you might have as well. So let's see. Some of the questions right now are, does Xbox Dev Mode Companion require a controller plugged into the PC? I believe it does, but you can actually use the mouse and keyboard as well. So that's a good question. So next one, is there a way to run a UWP on background as a service with the Xbox? I believe the answer is yes, you can definitely do that, but it depends on the kind of app you're building as well. I know certain apps have certain requirements on memory usage and resource usage, so you need to, we need to look in the documentation specifically to figure out if your app hits that criteria, because I think it's like, I'm not sure what the memory usage number is, but once you get beyond a certain, I think like 100 megabytes or so, your app is more likely to be, essentially put into like a suspended mode so that you can access it quickly, but it may not be actively running and, taking up resources from other applications as well. So next question by Fabio. I'm indie dev of UWP apps and mini games. I can ask if there's a chance in your future to have an UWP SDK for Kinect also with Xbox One support. So you can actually use the Kinect and take advantage of a lot of those features even today. Like you can actually use the Kinect shows up as a typical webcam or a typical audio microphone device. Now, I know we blogged a little bit about how you can take advantage of some of the gesturing APIs and some of the functionality that Kinect has for being able to take advantage of all the distance calculations and all the various, the terminology is currently escaping me. So all these, weird sci-fi futuristic terms that you need to use, like bone joints and things like that. But so I'm going to skip on all that stuff. But yes, it is going to be available. It's you can do a lot right now, and I'm assuming that you can also do a lot more in the future. All right. So Fabian Miro asks, on Xbox, we can only play play-ready content protected with SL less than 150. Owner requires SL 2000. Will it work on retail console? That's a good question. I don't know what the answer is to that, but that's something that we can get back to you shortly. So if there are any more questions, more questions. Professor Charles Kelly, are you going to go over writing UWP apps? They're not frame rate limited to 30 frames per second. So that's an interesting question. It's something that we as a developer, don't have much control over as you're building your application. The goal really is that you want to take advantage of hardware acceleration where possible, use the right, coding methodologies where you're not pegging the CPU too much or pegging the disk too much. But the limiting of the frame rate, that's controlled entirely by the Xbox runtime. And that's not something that we can actually force it to do. We can't say run it in 30 frames per second in the future where 60 is supported, or run it at 60 when 30 is only supported. So we just have to design it the best we can and ensure that our apps run smoothly when the hardware decides to support more or less capabilities. All right, Xbox App Dev from Wolfful. Are we going to have access to Cortana? For example, hey Cortana, my app action, without entering in the app but performing, you know, performing an action. That support exists today on UWP on the desktop. And my assumption is that, you know, you need to, once you register the appropriate VCD commands and make sure your app is a target for Cortana to pay attention to, we will try to see what we can do in the future about that. So any more questions? And all right, if there is no more questions, you know, we're going to, you know, wrap it up for a little bit. You know, it's lunchtime for us. It may be lunchtime for you guys as well. If it's not, by all means, go get a snack, extra snacks, you know, whatever makes you happy. And then we will come back in a little bit and continue with our day-long coverage of Xbox development.